Jack, nice to meet you. And I saw you last on screen in Sing Street. That was a long time ago, it feels like.
That was a while ago, all right. We've had a pandemic between then and
How did you survive the pandemic?
pretty well, actually. I live down the countryside, so we were blessed to have the space around us and just to get to have a lot of time in nature and just tune out, really. That was good. I'm aware that it was a very difficult time for a lot of people, particularly, people living in very dense areas. So I was just certainly glad of the space we had down the country. And then beyond that, one of the things that's been coming up quite a lot in the interviews is just about gaming and technology, like as it relates to virtual reality and stuff. And one of the things that was surprisingly a real saving grace during the pandemic was the ability to just play video games with my mates.
So you are a gamer. So this is right up your alley.
Big time playing Jet, big gamer, big gamer.
How do you even begin to describe the peripheral? I mean, it's even hard to say. I mean, how do you even describe this miniseries?
I think it's a very compelling, action-packed, dramatic sort of thriller science fiction series. It's from William Gibson, who's obviously the godfather of speculative fiction. For all those who are aware of his book Neuromancer, they'll know it's a seminal work. This is the man who coined the term cyberspace and conceptualized the internet before it was ever invented. So pretty high concept stuff, but at the same time, I think within the show we have some really grounded and relatable relationships between particularly the characters of Burton and Flynn, played by myself and Chloe Moretz, respectively. The sort of warmth between those characters serves as a real anchor point, for an audience when they're, facing the demand of all these kind of higher concept science fiction elements. But I think, it's a really exciting show and it's a really fun show. And I'm hoping audiences are going to really respond to it, particularly at home in Ireland.
So, for those not into this world, can I say that it starts at the year 2099? I mean, that's quite a thing to start at. I mean, it's mind-boggling to even think of that now. And then I don't want to give too much away about where it goes to from there, but where do you see yourself in the year 2099?
I'd say I'll be pushing up daisies by then, Clint.
You don't think we'll be able to live forever by that year?
I don't know if I'm getting to 107, to be honest with you,
You sure? I
man.
mean, I heard about the people that they've frozen in the middle of the desert and they're thinking about the time it's coming where they'll be able to unfreeze them.
Well, we'll see. You never know what's around the corner, but I wouldn't be betting on myself getting that far down the road anyway.
And performing in a space like this, I mean, I talked about Sing Street at the start of this, and it's easy to perhaps act in time of the past, perhaps. No, is it? Is it easier to act in the past or in the future as a performer?
That's an interesting question. I'll tell you what's so compelling for me about the peripheral is that there's obviously two timelines taking place within the show. One of them is about 10 years from now, and the other, as you say, is in the year 2099. And I think what William Gibson does so well as a speculative fiction author is he creates worlds where it's certainly of the future, but it feels like a future that's just around the corner. And I think that is a very prominent element in the show. And whatever technology we see in this, kind of 10 years off version of the future, it really they're proliferations of technology we already have. And a lot of it is stuff that is already, in practical use today. So that's kind of one of the elements of intrigue for me in the show, and hopefully it will be for the audience too.
And when you're working in this world, is that hard to create when it doesn't exist? I mean, I know there's words on a page to tell you what to do and stuff like that, but when you are creating this almost this universe that doesn't exist in such a big budget, special effects driven atmosphere as an actor,
Yeah.
is that a challenge?
It is, but when you have the kind of creators that we had on this show, like obviously William Gibson, who we've mentioned a few times now, but beyond that, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who are, you know, really extraordinary creators of the show. And then Vincenzo Natali as our director as well, who brought the material to Jonah and Lisa. You're in really good hands there, you know, and obviously it's going to be a very ambitious project. But you know, you can put your faith in those people really, and that's what we did. So yeah, obviously there's going to be times when you're going, this is big and I can't really understand how it's going to be done, but you know, the right people have been hired and it's a collaboration and you just trust in that. And I think that's typically the goal for any actor, no matter what project you're in, it's to trust the people that you're collaborating with.
I guess it's such a huge team, man. But I guess, is the pressure there from the moment you know the audition is happening, or is it when you read the script, or when do you know that the pressure is on, that you're about to step into a world, you know, on the back of Westworld and a huge Amazon production? Like, are you shaking in your boots? At what point in the timeline?
Yeah, you know, like, obviously from the minute you get the email that there's such an ambitious project coming your way, there is a daunting aspect to that. But, you know, I think you have to kind of compartmentalize it, to be honest, Clint, and just you do your best to just, you know, realize your end of the deal, and you get out there and just, you know, give it your all every day, basically. And hopefully you come out with something good in the end. Not always the case, but hopefully we have this time. And I think from the audience response so far, from what we've seen, people seem to really respond to it, which is great.
And are you looking forward to that side of things? I'm surprised to hear you're a gamer in a small way. I'm surprised that, but like, you know, this is Comic-Con material. Like, are you ready for all that sort of mad fan stuff?
Yeah. It's interesting that you even bring it up, because we went to Comic-Con in New York last week. It was actually the first one I've been to. I was a bit intimidated by it, to be honest with you, but, once I got there and I got a feel for what it actually is, it's actually a really endearing thing. You know, it's just all these people who get together because they're so passionate about, you know, whether it's the comics that they love or the TV shows that they love. And it's just really nice to see people together celebrating, you know, whatever culture they're into. You know what I mean? Like, it's been a difficult couple of years, and I have to say, it's just been nice to see people excited about stuff, and to be in a room that's so big with so many people there sharing this kind of feeling of goodwill, you know, that was really, really nice. It was cool.
Did you have that with Transformers? I mean, like, you might have people dressing up as you and things like that, sir.
Yeah, but we never did a Comic-Con on Transformers, okay, which I think was a missed opportunity now, yeah, as I look back. So, you know, this is the first time. That was nearly 10 years ago, Transformers. So this is really nice, just for the first time, to go and be in that environment and see what it's all about and just soak up a bit of the energy of it.
And what about home? Is Ireland on the cards for a visit or any works coming up?
Ireland will always be my home. And I would give up acting in a heartbeat if it meant that I wasn't going to be able to stay in Ireland and have it as you know, my primary home. It's just so important to me to get back when I'm not working and to just plug out of the whole career thing and just be in my community and be in the place that I relate to.
Is it a place, though, that you can work and exist in, you know, your private life and work life?
Absolutely. You know, more and more, you know, particularly over the last decade since I've been working, a lot of it is happening remotely now. You know, where you used to fly to LA for a meeting with a director or with, you know, producers, all of it's done over Zoom now, you know, and where we used to go into the room and do auditions with a casting director a lot, now people are just sending tapes all the time. And, you know, in some ways, you don't get that travel aspect as much as you used to, but at the same time, you get the quality of having a consistent home life a bit more. And I think that's very important, and it can keep you really grounded, you know.
And is work something conscious that you decide upon? Is it big screen work you're chasing? Is it this small screen streaming stuff? Is it theater? Like, or is it work just work for you at this stage, Jack?
No, I wouldn't say work is just work, you know, like it has to be compelling, whatever it's going to be. And obviously, you know, we need to be strategic and to try and pick and choose things that are going to be beneficial in terms of, you know, profile as well as creative fulfillment and gratification. But I've been very lucky over the years, Clint, and I'm glad to have had the opportunities that I've had so far, and hopefully I'll be able to make bold decisions going forward, and you know that things will continue along the trajectory that they've been on.
This is
What's
all
on the
we
wish
have
list? I
today.
mean, is there anything on the wish list that you need to tick off, or that you can give us a little hint on that perhaps is in the pipeline? There's nothing necessarily that I like really have on the wish list. I mean, my ultimate dream director to work for, I think, would be David Lynch.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
a massive David Lynch fan. so if that opportunity ever arose, I would be straight on that plane.
Just keep putting it out there, Jack. Just keep putting it out there. He's going to hear
Bit of magical realism, exactly.
it. Well,
Thank you.
thank you for taking us to another world with the peripheral. It's a fantastic little taste I got of it, and I'm going to get engrossed in it. I think a lot of people are going to get engrossed in it, and we'll see you at Comic-Con maybe, Jack.
Very good. Thanks, Emil Clint.
To talk to you. Bye-bye.